Sportsnet 650.
Let's bring in Corey Hirsch, who's with us from, you're in Philly, I guess. Good morning, Corey. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're just talking about Elias Pettersson is now in tied for the lead in the Swedish Elite League.
Are you excited, Hirschy?
For Elias Pettersson, yes, I am. But we have to wait. We have to wait till he's ready to come over. I think he's a star in the making. So that's exciting. That's exciting for the Canucks. So hold the fort until he can come over, and hopefully he's a superstar they're looking for.
So the news this morning, Philip Holm is up with Vancouver now, and Patrick Wierkosch is back down. Patrick has just been, he's been hanging out with you most of the time. He's having a lot of fun with you hanging out, but it was time, I thought, that you know he had to get some games in somewhere. And what do you make of Philip Holm coming up?
Well, Philip Holm's got 10 points in 15 games down in the minors. That's a big jump, though. There's a big difference, so I wouldn't expect him to come up here and start tearing it up points-wise. I hope they give him a chance because they are getting absolutely zero offense from the back end. So what do you have to lose by putting him in and giving him a chance to play? It looks like Tanev's close, Stetcher's close, but you cannot win in the National Hockey League without getting points from your defense. And when you look at the game against St. Louis, I looked at it as a measuring stick of where the Canucks are at and where the St. Louis Blues are at. And their defense is by far and away offensively much more productive, and they just all around had a way better group back there than what the Canucks had, and that's what the Canucks need to shoot for, is a defense like that.
We're talking to Corey Hirsch here on Sportsnet 650, and you know, the one thing, there were a lot of positives to take away from Saturday night, Hirschy, and it was a fun game to watch, going back and forth, and great scoring opportunities at both ends of the ice. And I guess the one con is right out of the gate, the Canucks blow a 3-1 lead at home. But secondly, when they got to overtime, that's where it really was somewhat telling to me, where Vancouver looked overwhelmed. And, you know, the skill and the star power that the Blues boast completely surpassed what Vancouver was offering to try to counterpunch with that. Vancouver looked uncomfortable right from the get-go in that overtime period.
Yeah, but you also have to understand where the Canucks are at in their development of a team and where the St. Louis Blues are at. I was with St. Louis 5-6 years ago, and they were the Canucks at that point. So Petrangelo, all those guys, Tarasenko, Schwartz, those guys have all developed. So when you get Pettersson, you get Dahlin, you get Besser, you'll have Virtanen. I mean, 3, 4, 5 years from now, well, then the Canucks will look like the St. Louis Blues. So that's where... It was just a good measuring stick at where each team was at in their development. So I don't look at it as overtime this or the third period that. I look at it as an overall whole picture of the Canucks at least have a plan moving forward, right? I didn't feel like last year watching them, there was a plan. You're like, really? Is this what we're going to have to watch for the next 10 years? I feel at least.
And you still took the gig, Hirschy.
Yeah.
You still took the gig.
Well, that's because there's a plan, right? They hired me. There's a plan. It's all good, but we have to be patient. Those kids, when they come over, they're good players. They're going to be Tarasenko's. They'll be Schwartz. But we have to wait. And there's a plan moving forward, which is good.
All right, Corey Hirsch is joining us from Philadelphia. You should mention Corey Hirsch presented by Dilawri Nissan Dealers. Find your nearest Nissan dealer at bc.dilawri.ca. Corey, we mentioned that Philip Holm is coming up. You're hoping he's going to get a shot to play. There are a couple of defensemen coming back. Where do you see the Canucks moving forward with their defense? And who do you take out of the lineup in order to insert? You know, you've got Stetcher coming back soon. You got Tanev. And now you got Philip Holm there as well. How do you see them all fitting into the lineup, or do you?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think it's time for Pouliot to take a rest. And that's not being... he's been very good up until the last couple of games, but sometimes young players, they need a game to sit out and just reset. And he's -5 in his last two. He needs a reset. Biega, love him, but he's a guy you insert for injuries. He's exactly what you had. You'll probably take him out. And I would like to see Holm get a chance in training camp. I thought that he was just okay. But it sounds like from when I talked to him in Utica that he's really, really taking control of the program. And let's see what he can do, because right now their defense just it's not good enough. These guys, I admire what they've done with the injuries, and how they've put it together with duct tape and freaking Band-Aids, but it's time to give someone else a chance because it's not good enough back there.
Yeah, I thought Pouliot the last couple of games just started to look a little. I don't know if it was a little fatigued or it was obviously an off night against the Vegas Golden Knights and even against St. Louis. I thought, but I think the pros have far outweighed the cons for Derek Pouliot. That's been a really nice pickup on Jim Benning's part, and he has fit in. But I think this past week it was a tough 2-game homestand. I thought for Derek Pouliot. Hershey, we're looking at the quarter poll here for the Vancouver Canucks season right now, and we're going to hand out our report cards here momentarily. But I thought, would you give us a grade in terms of what you've seen through the first 20 games? I mean, nobody's watched these games closer than you as the Canucks radio analyst here on Sportsnet 650. So, do you have a grade in mind?
Of the overall picture,
yeah.
Of the morning show.
No,
yeah. The morning show?
Well, that's an
A plus, obviously.
But from the games that you've seen from Vancouver so far and overall.
From an overall standpoint of the team, I mean, I would say where they're at, and probably give them like a B minus overall standpoint of the team. I mean, there's things that I'd like to see them do better, but they're better than we expected, right? I mean, a lot of teams or a lot of people had them in the summer as doom and gloom that they weren't, they weren't even going to be at this point. And they started out hot. But right now, though, I think you have to remember what the schedule is in this month. Like, this is probably one of the toughest months I've seen out of any NHL schedule ever. And so let's give them some slack and they can be better. Like I said, I would probably give them a B minus, just because based on where everyone thought they were in the summer and where they are now.
No, I would wholeheartedly agree. In fact, I've got right here on my script right in front of me. My report card grade is I've got a B minus. And I just think that the positives are a new top line has emerged up front, and that's what a lot of people have been waiting to see, that the scene Sedin's finally being replaced as your top scoring unit. And we've seen that with Brock and Bo and Berchi. Derek Dorsett's been good. I think Thomas Vanek's been a nice little pickup. But up front, you've had a lot of clunkers where Sutter, Gagne, Granlund. I don't think the Sedins have delivered offensively like a lot of people hoped for. And even Jake Virtanen with an incomplete grade as well, just for the lack of playing time. Defensively, you know what? They've still kept their heads above water. And despite the slew of injuries that they've had on that back end. So I think that's been a real positive. And from a goaltending standpoint, you know what? More times than not, they keep their teams in the game, but there's still a consistent level of soft goals regularly there, just as simple as that from a goaltending. But I think this has far exceeded any sort of expectations from this team so far this year through the first 20 games. And I think a B-minus speaks volumes to the job that Travis Green has done so far this year.
Yeah, and overall, like you said, I think goaltending's probably been a B for me compared to what they were. It's just, to me, it's on the back end. I mean, that's what they've done back there. They've wholeheartedly tried, but over the course of the league, you have to look at it. I'd give them like a C because it's not good enough. And I talked in the summer. We had all talked, and we knew that this is probably where it was going to be. They don't have a one or a two, and you cannot compete in the National Hockey League at a high level without a top two pairing. And you look at St. Louis, Parayko, Edmondson, even the Duns player, Petrangelo. I mean, you've got a lot of potential 1-2s. And when I look at the Canucks defense, I'm like, who's going to be a 1 or a 2 in that core? So either you have to draft somebody, which takes time, or you have to overpay for somebody. And I see the Canucks probably eventually overpaying for somebody.
Yeah, I had right where you guys were as well, a B minus, and then I went down to a C plus just because of the lack of scoring from the back end and how critical that is in this season. And I think what skewed it also was the start of Derek Dorsett. Without Derek Dorsett doing what he did and playing well above where he can play, where would this team be? They'd probably be more like a C. And so I think I gave Derek Dorsett an A in that, and then with the defense brought it down to a C plus, because Dorsett has been an amazing story for this team to start this season, Corey.
Yeah, no, well, and that's no question. We know where would this team be without Derek Dorsett at the start, but he's not the guy you want to rely on for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. That's why it's a C+, right? Because it's without him, they would probably be about a C.
Yeah, and I've always wondered, what is the difference between a B- and a C+? Can someone explain that to me?
That's a better dorm room. That's about it. That's all that does. So now you've got this giant road trip that you are on, started yesterday. You're in Philadelphia. Talk about what they have to do against these teams. Now, they've beaten Pittsburgh. There's some great things about that the Canucks have done this season, but now they're going to their buildings. They do play a bit better on the road. So what do you make of this road trip?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure as a Canucks fans are going to want to hear this, but I think you have to just play a really defensive you don't want to get into a run and gun on this trip. There's too many games. There's too many teams with high power offense. You have Pittsburgh. I think you have to play extremely defensively, and I think you have to try to win games 1-0, 2-1. You have to you can't open it up, and you know, eventually, I think they can play more of an attack game. But for this road trip, with some of the injuries they have on the back end, for where they're at as a team, if they want to win, they cannot play exciting end-to-end hockey because it's just not going to happen. So it's almost like batten down the hatches for the next, you know, 5-6 games, get through it, and then December schedule is much better.
But you know, you're calling for Willie DeJardine to come back here, Willie D Hockey again. Come on, man! Why would you talk? Why would you sell this on a Monday?
I am not calling for Willie D Hockey, and Willie's a friend of mine. I'm calling for smart hockey. You have to be smart. You're going to go into Pittsburgh. You're going to play run and gun with them?
No,
really, it's not going to end up good. So I think it, just for these 5-6 games, I think you have to play a really defensive road game. I think you have to play smart. I think Travis Green is going to have his hands full with line matchups. But there's winnable games on this trip for sure. The Rangers aren't playing up to their potential. You know, the Islanders are beatable. You can go into Philadelphia, they're beatable. So there are games on this trip that are winnable. It's just, for me, they have to get through the rest of this month, and then the schedule gets much better for them.
Talking hockey with Corey Hirsch here, and not collectively, but I think there's been a lot of times where we've looked at certain schedule, at certain points of this schedule through the first 20 games and go, okay, well, you know what? They're keeping their heads above water here, but ... Is this where the bottom gives out? For me, this is the first time that I'm looking at this schedule and I feel like this might be a real opportunity to kind of look at a fish or cut bait with this team at this point in the season with these six games on the road, because I think to your point, this has been a grueling month. They'll finish the month having played 10 games on the road here in the month of November, and to see where things ultimately lie at the end of this month. But right now, they're a point out of being in a playoff spot right now, and they're right there either for a wild card or third in their own division, and they're still hanging in there, and they're at the quarter pole, and they're one game off the pace. So, I mean, if that's one point somewhere along the way, and yes, right now they're technically on the outside looking in, but the fact that they're still battling for a playoff spot 20 games in, I don't think many people would have factored them being in this position at the quarter pole, where when you kind of get to U.S. Thanksgiving, this is kind of the make-or-break moment for some teams.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people had them pegged as the Arizona Coyotes, that they weren't going to win a game this year, really, in the summer, right? I mean, I listened to all the talk. So this team is, as we always knew, it was. I felt it was better than what everybody thought it was going to be. But yes, this, you know, if you looked at its strength of schedule against a football team, if you had to go in and play a month of all the best teams on the road, I mean, it wouldn't be very good for even the best of football teams. So, and that's kind of what the Canucks are facing here, is that they're playing some good road teams. And I listened to other teams cry about their schedule. The Pittsburgh Penguins cry about their schedule when they came into Vancouver. I'm like, really? You guys are in your beds most nights. We're going on 8-9 game road trips, and then a 12-dayer at the end of the month. And these teams out east cry about their schedule. So I guess it's all relative to whatever. But they have to get through these six games. They have to get through 500. That's how I feel in these next six games.
By the way, Corey, great job the other night showing your back to the whole world when they were talking about you and Kamloops. Well done when Vegas was in town. Batch was upset that they caught the top of his head and that was it. So they had a nice shot of you. It was beautiful.
I heard that. At least give me the tap on the shoulder so I can turn around and say hello. But that's probably the best view, right from the, right in the back of my head.
It's a great look for radio there, buddy.
Yeah, a little tap on the shoulder so you can turn and do a nice little smile. You know,
right.
Get that.
Nice,
I agree
wave.
With you. Yeah, it would have been nice. So.
All good. All good.
Sportsnet 650.